Everybody say amen. Amen. God has been good to us once again. God is wonderful to us once again. God is the greatest God of all time and the only God of all times. So let us be thankful to God for waking us up this morning. You know, I always like to say God is good. And all the time, God is good. You got it. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the 15th chapter of the book of Luke. Verses 1 and 2, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Let us go to God in prayer before we get into our lesson this morning. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the blessings of this day. Thank you for the blessings of yesterday. And we pray for blessings in the future, O Lord. We thank you for your love, your kindness, your mercy, and your grace, O Heavenly Father. Father, for we did not have to be here this morning, but somewhere in the early morning hours, you came and stood by our bedside, sent the angels to stand by our bedside and gently tap us and waken us from our sleeping and slumbering. Thank you this morning for the food that we ate, the clothes that we are now wearing, and the roof over our head that we slept under last night, O Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, and we come praying and thanking you for your Son, Jesus, of whom you sent into this world to hang, bleed, and die for our behalf. Thank you this morning, Father, as we pray, as we go into our services now, O Lord. We thank you this morning for all of those that are here, and we're praying for those who are on our sick list, as it has become a growing list, O Lord. We just pray for all of those who are sick and unable to be with us this morning. But we know that you already know them by name, so I won't try to call all the names, O Heavenly Father, for you already know them. Father, we pray for our leaders this morning as well as their families. We pray for the brethren who have worked into this part of the services and their families also, that they all might be strengthened. Father, we pray for peace and harmony in this world. We pray for our membership that their families might be strong and strengthened as well as themselves. We pray this morning, O Heavenly Father, for our politicians who guide and direct us through our everyday life, O Lord. We pray that they not hinder us from worshiping Thee in spirit and in truth. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all of everything that You have given us. And we continue to pray for more and more, O Lord, because we know that You shall supply all of our needs. And, Father, we know that our needs are on a daily basis, and You supply them, Father. Thank You, Lord. Now, my Heavenly Father, we pray for those who have lost loved ones and are suffering the sting of death. Father, we know You are able to take away that sting. You have taken away that sting. Thank You right now, Heavenly Father, for all You do for us, and it's in the name of Your Son, Jesus. We continue to pray and ask it all. Let us all say, amen. This morning, from those two verses, we're looking at a subject this morning, this man, Jesus. Often we hear stories about great men, men who have become role models or heroes because of their great feats and deeds. Today I'm going to speak of a man of whom no other man can equal in terms of his accomplishments. A man whom we owe our very lives to. A man of whom we cannot yet meet face to face, but we will one day. A man during his time on this earth worked miracles, drew large audience to see and hear him speak. A man who healed the sick, of whom meals were served in his honor. But in today's text, there were two groups that came to see Jesus. In verse number one, there were the publicans and the sinners. In verse number two, there were the Pharisees and the scribes. And this second group in verse number two, they would not even call him by name. They said, this man. Instead, they simply referred to him as this man. One group came to hear and one group came to find fault with him. Kind of like today's believers and non-believers. They look to find fault in Jesus. Let us look at our text for today. So that is the first thing we want to find out. Who was this man? Jesus was and is the greatest man of all time and eternity. Jesus is the name that simply signifies Savior. Jesus is the name above all names. His name was announced even before He was conceived. Gabriel, an angel dispatched from God to give a message to Mary in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 31. That message was given. It says, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." Matthew 1 and 21 adds the following, He shall save his people from their sins. One group, the public and the sinners, came to hear the words that Jesus spoke. They came to hear Jesus. Look at verse number 1. They drew near unto him, all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. But the other group that was there, the Pharisees came with no good intentions. Today people are still divided on Jesus. Many know of his goodness, others want to destroy what he stands for. Nevertheless, no matter what man may think of him, his power and authority is not of mankind. In Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38, the Bible says, "God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." That same Jesus, this man as they refer to him, that same Jesus has not closed up his shop. He's still in the business of deliverance and saving people from their sin. To those who would but come to him. In Acts chapter 10 and verse number 39, it lets us to know what Peter and the apostles declared. Jesus, how they declared Jesus unto all. Peter said, "We are witnesses of all things which he did in both the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem." Verse number 43 further clarified that Jesus is Christ for all. "Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Now, isn't that a wonderful thing to know that we can receive remission of sin? God is able to erase and forgive us for all of our sin. He'll give us remission for our sins. All we have to do, a lot of folk are under the misinterpretation that you go down in the watery grave of baptism. The reason you go down in the grave of watery grave of baptism is to meet the blood and to be washed for the remission of your sins. So look at verse number 1 once again. "Then drew unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Who better to draw near to him than those who had not heard of him, or those who were sinners still in their lives? But in verse number 2, "And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Oh yes, he does. Jesus is the God of all men. This man receiveth sinners. The Pharisees and the scribes in their minds tried to make Jesus look bad. Sometimes folk today try to make Jesus look bad. You don't need to go to church each and every Sunday. Jesus understands. But the Bible says we are to meet up on the first day of the week. Isn't that right, church? So Jesus is still in the business of rescuing sinners from their sin. And He'll still receive you as a sinner. They try to make Jesus look bad, but their attempts of belittling Him is good news for the sinners. Not some sinners, but for all sinners. All sinners. That means that you, me, and everybody else who are sinners or who need to be saved by Christ can be saved. Anyone who have not obeyed and believed on Jesus can come to Jesus. In John chapter 6 and the verses number 37, "All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Jesus offers to those who would come to him security. He said he would not cast us out of his loving arms. You know, isn't it a good security blanket? Isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus will accept us? Isn't it wonderful to know that we have a Savior who can save us? And most of all, isn't it wonderful to know that this man, Jesus, this man that they called Him, as they called Him, is still in the business and still will save you and I if we but reach out to Him and come to Him. You know, Jesus is a good God. God is wonderful. God is great. But yet we must come to Him in order to receive His blessings. Now, there are folk who try to say that, well, I believe that God will bless me even if I don't come to Him. And you know, I like to tell you that's just not true. God will give you things that you need. God will allow you to live. But at some point in time, God may decide it's time for you to move on. Now, when I think about that, when I think about how good God is and how great God is, and when you think about how good and how great God is, doesn't it send your mind to wondering, Lord, why are you so good to me when I'm not good to you back? But God is still in the business of delivering His people and for those who would come. His will is that of the Father. His will is that of God the Father. Men must come to Him in order to receive everlasting life. They must come to Him and they must trust in Him as well. Yes, Jesus does receive sinners, as in that second verse of Luke chapter 15 there. He does receive sinners. In Mark chapter 2 and verse number 10, some of the scribes had challenged Jesus on one occasion. And Jesus, being all aware, knowing what was in their hearts, they wanted to know who can forgive sins but God. Jesus answered them. He said, so that you may know the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sin. Jesus is the greatest news sinners can ever hope for, and the only news believers need to know. For He is a friend who will love us unconditionally. Now, sometimes we distort the word love. We equate the word love with lust. And that's not the kind of love that Jesus is talking about. Jesus will love us, but we must love Him back. Look at the text once again in verse number 2. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You better believe it. That's a wonderful thing for Jesus to receive sinners and eateth with them. This man eateth with sinners. Jesus, according to that text, must have been sitting down and he was being accused of eating with those sinners. But that's not a bad thing. I'm glad today that Jesus will receive us as sinners. You ought to be glad too. You ought to be glad that and not complain about Him like they did in verse number 2 there. That's how some folk are in the church today. They don't want to do anything to help anyone, but they want to tear down all of those who would try to help others. They want to cause disruption within the body of Christ. Yes, Jesus was willing to sit with sinners. Yes, Jesus was willing to eat with sinners and invite sinners and meet them. But do you remember in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20 where the Bible says Jesus issued an invitation? He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open this door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing to know that Jesus will sup with you if you let Him in? Jesus is willing to make this first step by knocking at the door. In Revelation 3 and 20 there, He says, I'm standing at the door knocking. Will you open the door? Open the door and I'll come in and I'll sup with you and you sup with me. And that's wonderful, church. God is willing to eat with sinners. Once again, in verse number 2, the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners. Not only does he receive them, look what else it says. He says, and eateth with them. Now, that's a lot of action there. He not only will accept you, but he ate with them as well. So just what When one shows one's desire to have Jesus in their life, when you open the door, to those who are not as zealous toward God as they used to be or as they once were, and those who are willing to show, and those who are also show a willingness to come back to Him. When we are bound to Him, we will be glad to open the door for Him. Jesus is the light in our times of darkness. He is our companionship in times of loneliness. He is our comfort in time of sorrow. He is our peace in unpeaceful times. He is our strength in times of weakness. What can this man Jesus do for us today? Well, He can bring us all together. You know, the world is at odds with one another on one front or another. The people over in the Middle East don't like one another. The people in this country don't like one another because I am of a different race or a different color or a different creed. So some folk don't like me and I don't like some folk because I think they're against me. And so this circle just grows bigger and bigger. But Jesus can pull us all together. Didn't He pull the Jews and the Gentiles together? He pulled the Jews and the Gentiles together. And if you're not a Jew, guess what you are? You are a Gentile. So his mission was to pull all the people together through the gospel. So when I think about the gospel of Christ, I'm in awe at how wonderful God is to us. First of all, do you realize just how great God was and how much He loved us? He loved us enough to send His only begotten Son down into this world. He loved us enough to allow His Son to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross. He loved us enough to save us from where we were headed. And we were all headed for a large and bad fall. But yet Jesus came into our lives. In John chapter 14, in the verses number 19, Jesus said, "Because I live, you shall live," as He spoke to His disciples. We all need to come to know this man and who received sinners and who ate with them. Yes, God receiveth sinners and God eats with sinners. Thank God, for He has comfort for all of us. We can be comforted in that above verse, knowing that as long as we live in Christ, we shall not be left without our Redeemer. And we know that He lived, our Redeemer lives, because isn't it wonderful to know that we can live eternally because this man lives. This man lives. And I often wonder, sometimes I like to place myself back in biblical times when Jesus walked this earth. And I would have liked to have been around this group that was there at that time when they said, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." But I like verse number 1, where they drew near unto Him, all the publicans and the sinners, for to hear Him. They came to hear Him. The others came to complain. If you're coming to church but to do nothing but complain, don't even bother to come. Because you're not going to do anything but disrupt. Now, if you come with an open mind and have your heart open to receiving God's Word, that's different. But don't come just to complain. Don't come just to ridicule one another. Don't come to say, I used to like him, but I don't like him no more. Don't come because you think that you're going to be, you think that you can't outdress him. It's not a dressing contest. Come because you want to know and receive the Word of God. Come because you want to worship God in spirit and in truth. Come because you love the Lord, because He first loved us. Thank God this morning that God loved us and Jesus died for us. When I consider back in these days when these people were gathered around and all they wanted to do, those that wanted to hear, wanted to hear. Have you ever been to the movies? I know most of you have been to the movies at one time or another. And you get in there and there's always a group in there who will tell you the whole plot of the movie before that it's actually shown in the movies. Well, this is what these in verse number 2 was. The Pharisees and the scribes, they were murmuring. They said that He receiveth sinners and eateth with them. But they didn't understand that Jesus had a reason for doing what He did. Jesus knows what He's doing, and I don't question Him. I have a lot of questions that I'd like to ask the Lord. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wait till I get up there. And then when I get up there, I'm going to be very inquisitive when I meet with Him. When my turn comes, like I always tell you, when my turn comes, I'm going to be asking a lot of questions and reaching out for Brother Carter. I'm going to be trying my very best and find out why You did what You did, Lord. I didn't understand it then, but now give me an opportunity, if You will, to understand what You were doing when You did that, oh Lord, or when You did this or that. I thank God this morning that one day we're all going to meet Him. I don't care what your status in life may be today, whether you got all the money in the world that you think that you'll ever need, or whether you have no money at all. We're all going to meet Him face to face. Every eye, every knee shall bow in front of the Lord Jesus Christ one day. So I thank God that He has left a way for me to get there. Get up to see Him one by one and to stand with Him and to be able to hear His judgment pronounced, His final dispatch to me. See, I got an opportunity right now to read about what's going to happen. But when that day comes, none of us are going to be able to make any changes. All changes need to be made right now. All changes must be made right now. So then as these folk drew near unto Him, all of these publicans and sinners to hear Him, this is what we're here in church for today, to hear about Him. In verse number 2, when those who came to complain, all they did was just murmur and start talking about what He was doing. Well, Jesus knew what He was doing. He knows what He's doing today. I know one thing I do know is that whatever is in the Word of God, we need to listen to it and obey it. Whatever God said do, don't question it, just do it. If He says step over the water puddle backwards, step over the water puddle backwards. If He says walk backwards down the block, walk backwards down the block. But He didn't say anything like that. But I'm just using an illustration to prove a point, and my point is very simple. Whatever the Lord said do, we should do it just the way He said do it. Not some contrived up way that man tells us to do it. Well, I don't think that He really meant for us to do it like that. I think that He meant we can do it any way we want to. Well, if He had said that, then I would agree with that. But if He said do it, when Noah was building the ark, didn't God give him a blueprint for the ark? He told him what, not only what kind of wood, but He told him how to build the boat. He could have, like I always said, He could have went down to Home Depot and found some cheaper wood. But He didn't. He used the wood that God told Him to use. That's why we have to do it the way God tells us to do it. So those Pharisees and the scribes that were murmuring, we've got them today. They're still here, those kind. Not Pharisees and necessarily Pharisees and scribes, but those kind are still here. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I thank God today that Jesus still will eat with a sinner. I thank God today that He may not physically be here, but I thank God that He would allow us as sinners to sit at the table and to come to the door and open the door and sup with Him. This morning, as I come to a close now, I bring this message to you because I want us to know what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus, and what friend is worth knowing better than Jesus. In these times and in these troubled times, I should say, Jesus is a good friend to have. He is a friend among all friends. He is the best friend that you can ever have in this world. And when I think about it, church, Jesus is a good friend. Jesus is a good friend, and I'll tell you why He's a good friend. He's a good friend because He's given us chance after chance after chance. He continues to give us chance after chance after chance. He continues to let us live when, if some of us lived in Old Testament time, we would have been gone. But Jesus is a friend and He sits on the right hand of His Father and He intercedes for us. He intercedes for us. And I thank God that I have a friend like that. And do I always do everything right? No, I'm not any righter than you are most of the time. And don't say you're always right because you're not. I'm just as right as most of us are. But do I do wrong? Yes, I'm wrong sometimes. And I don't hide that. I'm human and so I make mistakes. But I know that I have a friend who can help me through and past these mistakes. I know that there's a man, and you might want to call him this man, but if you want to call him this man, call him what you will, just call him by his name, which is Jesus, our Savior. And I know that as soon one day the curtains are going to draw close on all of our lives, and we're going to be gone away from this earth. And who are you going to call on then? See, you got to call on Him right now. You got to call on Him now because this is the time that you have right now. And when I think about how calling on Jesus can change our lives, I'm one of those who would say call on Him often, early and often. Call on Him all the time, if you will. Call on Him because eventually Jesus will answer your prayer. Because Jesus is an answerer of prayers. Now I know that sometimes we get into situations where we say, He probably won't hear my prayer. Well, don't you decide. Let Him decide. Let Him decide if He's going to answer your prayer. I know sometimes I ask for things, I say to myself, am I really going to ask Him for this? Yes, I am. I'm going to ask Him for this and I'm going to pray that He even answers me for this. Now, can you do the same thing? Yes, you can. When I sometimes get down on my knees and I go to God in prayer, I sometimes wonder if I'm going to be able to get back up off of my knees. But I know one thing I do know, that I'm praying to the right person. I'm praying to the right God. I'm praying to the only God. And I know that when that time for all of us has come and gone, and when we're wheeled into somebody's funeral home or somebody's church, when somebody stands over us, when somebody says a eulogy, and when somebody prays over us, when somebody sings over us, when somebody says a few words of kindness over us, the Lord is still there when we have hope in Him. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, our Maker and Creator, the one and only God. And I ask you this morning, as I close up now, I ask you this morning, have you talked to Him lately? Have you been to this man lately? Do you know this man? See, some of us like to say, well, I know Jesus. But do you really know Jesus? Do you just call on Him when you're in trouble? Or do you call on Him and say, Lord, I don't have a problem this morning. I just want to say thank You. I just want to say I thank You, Lord, because number one, You woke me up this morning. Number two, I know You were there, Lord, because I know I couldn't wake myself up because I was asleep. So I thank You, Lord. Lord, I thank You because I looked out the window and I saw that the clouds were rolling in and it looks like it's going to be a great day, but I want to thank You anyway, Lord, because the great day is here. I want to thank You, Lord, because the sun shone on yesterday, and I think it might shine on tomorrow. But I want to thank You for this great day that I'm in the midst of right now, Lord, and I'd like for You to keep me through this day. Just thank Him sometimes instead of begging all the time. Now, there's nothing wrong with begging, but thank Him also sometimes. He'd like to hear from you when you're not in trouble. He'd like to hear from you just on a regular daily, on a regular daily basis. So I say to you this morning, if you're not a member of the body of Christ. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you are a member and you've gone astray, and yes, believe it or not, church folk do go astray. When you go astray, you can come back. You can ask God to forgive you of your past discretions and then stand and come forward. Stand right up here. Face the audience. Don't be ashamed, just like you wasn't ashamed when you did whatever it was that you did. Stand before the audience and say, I made a mistake and I asked the Lord to forgive me. And now I want you, church, to pray for me to help me get through this time period that I'm going through right now. God can heal all ailments. God can heal all sin. God can raise us up from our deadness in our spiritual body. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.